There's this great tension that believers must endure. And it's the But it's the contrasts of God's will.
So that I know I am. It's the contrast of God's will between his and mine.
Okay, well, let's go look
at this. Like you're a vice, kind of like?
Yeah. Oh. Let's look at some of this.
That would be the thing where being pulled in two directions.
Like a rat.
Let's look at some of these. Matthew 17:24. This is right after the transfiguration. Christ had just been transfigured. And there was the disciples' unbelief. There was the demon that wouldn't come out. And he said, "O faithless generation, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you?"
What?
Matthew 17:24.
No, that's. I'm just telling you what happened beforehand. Now it comes. What?
We're like scratching the rim.
Like a fumble.
Now in verse 24.
Balls on the carpet.
What?
Turkeys on the carpet.
And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money, or tax collectors, came to Peter and said, "Doth not your master pay tribute or taxes?" And he saith, "Yes." And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers?" And Peter said unto him, "Of strangers." Jesus said unto him, "Then are the children free." And what he's saying is that Jesus is saying to the disciples, to you, that you are free from paying taxes. He's saying that. You understand that? That's what that says. But then he goes on to say, "Notwithstanding, lest we should offend, go thou to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. When thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take you, that take and give unto them for me and thee." First of all, he says you're free from paying taxes, but then he says we pay them so as to not offend. Go to Romans 14. Verse 14. "I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself." Nothing unclean.
What verse are we at in 14?
Romans 14, 14. Oh. "I know and I'm persuaded that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to them that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. And if thy brother be grieved with thy meat or thy action, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not in food and or meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy and the Holy Ghost." Nothing unclean. If you think it's unclean, it's unclean. Another place he said, it's not sin unless you think it to be sin. Now, here he says there's nothing unclean in itself. If you think it's unclean. And if your brother thinks it's unclean, you refrain from doing it out of love. Nothing unclean. Contrast. Nothing unclean, but if you think it's unclean, it is. And if your brother thinks it's unclean, out of love, you don't do it. Can you hear that? Contrast. Free from taxes, you pay taxes. Nothing unclean, but if your brother thinks it's unclean, it is unclean. Okay, let's look at another one. Go to Romans, over there. Go to verse 20.
14, 20?
Yeah. For meat or food or something, destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. All things are pure, but it's evil if it's done with offense. Again, contrast. Understand? Okay. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6. Verse 12. All things are lawful unto me. Now stop a minute and think about that. All things are lawful. There's nothing that isn't lawful. Now, I didn't write this. Now I want you to say, well, what about? No, I'm serious. I don't want to be facetious. There are 1,000 things that you don't think are lawful, right? All things are lawful. Full of law. Do you believe that?
No. No, I don't see how it's not lawful to kill your brother. I don't see how the resurrection of Christ makes it okay to kill your brother. Paul couldn't kill Peter.
I didn't write this.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I don't.
Why are all things lawful?
It's by his decree?
No, all things are lawful because he fulfilled the law.
Define lawful.
Okay. Everything's okay. I didn't write this. Now you're acting like I wrote this. What do you think? What does your heart condemn you about? Not some silly thing. What does your heart condemn you about?
Pissing Barbara.
It's lawful.
Not doing what I'm supposed to get done at a certain time.
Having things and other people don't have things.
Hurting people's feelings. Thinking, judging other people and not saying, well, just judging other people.
Okay, I want you to read this. Do you remember? I didn't write this. Can we get that straight? All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. All things are lawful, but all not expedient.
I forgot what verse we're on.
We're now on 1 Corinthians 6:12. Okay, go to 1 Corinthians 10. Do you think that's a contrast?
Yeah.
We're talking about contrast of God's will. All things lawful, but not all things are expedient. Okay, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23. Again, he repeats it. He says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. He repeats it. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. What does edify mean?
Build up.
Edify means to build up the bride. The great mystery here is to the part of you that would condemn yourself your response is, all things are lawful. The part of you that would then take license with all things, the contrast is, but all things are not expedient. So, there is no thing, there's no thought, there's no action that you do or don't do because of you should or shouldn't do it. You do all things out of the motivation of love. And that's freedom. You can't know freedom unless you know all things are lawful. But it, again, this incredible contrast. As long as you think it is sin, it is sin. As long as you think it's pure and unpure, it is unpure. As long as you think it's unclean, it is unclean. Let's read it again. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not.
Is expedient there also I always heard the word profitable. Is it the same thing? The same
word? Well, expedient just means whatever you think is right. No, just read those to yourself and let it sink in. And let it destroy your shoulds and ought tos in your mind. God wants a people who are only motivated by love, not by should I or shouldn't I. Can you hear that? But you can't ever get there if you think that there are certain things that are not lawful. Because then you will do it for the wrong reason. Contrast of God's will.
Doing what you should or shouldn't is self.
It's self-deity.
And doing it for love is other.
Okay, go to Titus now. This one's even worse. You never saw these things, right? Or if you see them, you ignore them.
It's like there's a big warfare going on between spirit and flesh.
That's right. Titus 1. Verse 15. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. Even their mind and conscience is defiled. To the pure in heart, all things are pure. But if your heart is defiled, nothing is pure. Contrast. Okay? Philippians 2. This one's a little more subtle. Those ones that we just read aren't subtle. You understand that? They're like black and white. Boom, boom. Philippians 2. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, what is this mind? This mind is a mind of contrasts. This is a mind who was in the form of God, in other words, had all the power and authority of God, but thought it not something to be grasped, to be equal to God. But he emptied himself. Now this is where the word faith and the positive confession people miss the boat. Because they believe that it's something to be grasped to get these things. And that's fine, that's like child's play. It's fine to know that you have that authority. But once you, do you understand that when I first became a believer, everybody I prayed for, everybody I touched was healed? I could tell you story after story after story. But by the wisdom and mystery of God, it was revealed to me that God didn't want healing. But I had to know that I had that within me in order to give it up. You
have to be caught before you get brought.
No. A temptation is always something. It's a testing by an alien power of something you possess. If you don't know you possess it, you can't be tested in it. Does that compute? Yeah. Harry will never be tested in the arena of being a nice guy.
He's never been a nice guy.
No, because he doesn't believe he can never be a nice guy.
Harry will never be tested in the area, I don't think he will anyway, in the area of the changes that occur when you're on a period.
This isn't the manifestation for that.
Okay. But do you understand that the test is to know you have the authority, to know you have the right and not exercise it, to empty yourself of. Contrast. All right? Well, and then another good one in when Jesus, who instead of the joy, he endured the cross. Contrast. Now, let's go to another big one. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Contrast. A sonship with all the rights, suffering. Doesn't make sense. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians, though the outward man perish, the inner man is renewed day by day. A huge contrast. And this is the biggest, the one next one is the biggest contrast of all. The biggest mystery is what Crystal and I talked about today. Go to Luke 14. Verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. You cannot be a disciple unless you hate yourself. Understand that? Okay, now go to Luke 10.
Otherwise, there's no reason to be a disciple.
Verse 27. Well, let's go on 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy might, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. The biggest contrast that exists in the Christian message is that you must hate yourself and you must love yourself. How can this be? We can spiritualize it and say, well, he hates the flesh, but he loves the... But what is it? Your mind doesn't separate. You either hate yourself or you love yourself. There's not a great deal in between. You know, some of you have spent a lifetime loathing yourselves.
So how can you love your neighbor if you hate yourself?
That's what we're talking about, the contrast.
Yeah. you treat your neighbor like you treat yourself.
Again, do you understand? I didn't make up. I didn't write this. You can't come to the Lord. You can't be his disciple unless you hate yourself. But you can't fulfill the gospel unless you love your neighbor as yourself. What do you do with this? Do you ignore it? What?
Stay there in Christ and see this resurrected in you.
Yeah, but I know that sounds spiritual. How do you do that?
Yeah, I can do that from that.
I can't do it.
You stop farting around and go for it. Go all the way through Romans 7.
Join the man.
Bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. If you're an asshole, go ahead and be an asshole. Come to the end. Stop making believe. Stop stepping back from the edge of the cliff.
Keep going here. You're going to get them all.
No, it's all the same one.
Sounds good.
How do you know when it happens?
And what happens?
You love yourself.
You don't like yourself.
When you can love somebody else.
You just wake up and suddenly you love everything.
I can take a pill and do it.
I love pill.
4 or 5
Alexis.
It can't happen until you admit to yourself that you loathe and you hate yourself. It can't happen. Do you understand how much of your life you've spent fleeing from that? Can't do that. I can't do that. You understand how much of Harry's life he spent fleeing from the fact that he loathes himself?
Trying to make believe.
You can't be his disciple unless you hate yourself. You can't fulfill the gospel until you love yourself. How do you deal with it? Do you ever think about it?
It seems like the Bible's full of, and that's I guess the biggest, but it seems like it's full of statements like that, that there's like no way to figure out, you know, after looking at it and stuff.
In the Old Testament, the things that that can't be done are called statutes. There's commandments, there's law, commandments, and statutes. The things that, the rabbis say, the things that you can't do, are called statutes. And that's the ones that the Pharisees were so condemned for, because they tried to act like they were doing them. It's like I can't remember this. When I was visiting all these churches, and they would, okay, now turn to your neighbor and greet him and tell him how much you love him. Never saw this sucker before. I couldn't do that. I mean, I refused to do it. I'd stand there and everybody would, you know, and no.
I don't love you. Stop touching me.
Don't touch me. You're touching me.
Just touch your hand or break your finger.
Oh, Carly, too.
But have you ever been to church where they did that?
Yes. Yeah.
Turn around and greet 3 people.
Bless
three people and tell them Jesus is in you and loves you.
Okay, well, how do you respond to that? What do you do?
You just go along with it.
Don't you feel a little goofy?
Oh, yeah.
Does anybody ever do that where they didn't feel goofy?
Yeah.
That's why I feel goofy about prayer. When you're in a group of people and everybody wants you to, and they pray. To me, that's the same type of deal.
Yeah.
Four stories.
Okay, now it's time to raise your hands. Okay, now it's time to move down. Okay, now it's time to pray. Okay, now it's time to stop praying. But this one gets me. This one can't be his disciple unless you hate your life. You can't live the life unless you love your life.
Well, it's like if you spend a lifetime loathing yourself, it seems like you get that part. You know?
Yeah, but you never admit you do. That's the secret. The mystery is that you have to admit that you loathe yourself.
You have to admit it to yourself.
Yeah.
And that's why you work it all the time.
You know, you keep running from it.
You're proving to yourself that you don't.
I never do that.
Just kidding. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm doing it now.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Every day, in every way, I'm becoming a better and better person.
Right.
Harry took the success, Burnett took the SMI Institute courses. I can only tell you, I can't tell you how to do this. I can only tell you how I dealt with it. It ain't easy, my friends. Before we get to that one, let's look at some more contrast. Go to 2 Corinthians 4. This treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God, the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. So, more contrast. You're troubled, but not distressed. Do you see the contrast?
Mm-hmm.
It's predictable. You're troubled, but not distressed. You're perplexed, but not in despair. You're persecuted, but not forsaken. You're cast down, but not destroyed. We think there's something wrong when we're troubled, when we're perplexed, when we're persecuted, and when we're cast down. We think there's something systemically wrong with us. Right?
Yeah.
What does God say? What did the psalmist say? Let's go to... Well, this is too big to tackle in this time. Psalm 84.
Well, you know, there's, I've heard things, there's people that die for that cause. What are the guys that we read about, the ones that are killed and persecuted?
Right.
But yet we look at them as a...
Oh, they're heroes.
Yeah.
But when we think about what they, we don't want to think about what they went through.
Yeah.
Okay. Psalm 84. This is a great psalm. I love this psalm. This should be on your psalm list. On your psalm list. How amiable are thy...
I remember this in the snowstorm back in the back room.
Don't go pushing it around.
He shoveled snow.
I remember this.
Huh?
We all sat huddled in the back room there because it was so cold.
I know.
In the middle of a snowstorm.
I know. How come you remember that one and none of the rest?
Because I just remember this. I don't know, it just really made a big kind of impression on me.
It's expedient.
Does anybody else remember it? Not yet.
Will.
How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca maketh it a well. Remember the valley of Baca? The valley of Baca is the valley of tears, of despair. Who passing through the valley make it a well. In other words, when you're going through the midst, in that midst you dig until you find the living water. Okay? And then this stupid thing happens. This is a really stupid thing. You're in there, you're busted, there's no hope, everything is wrong, nothing is right. You'd start digging and you finally get a little relief, you find a little living water. And what happens? Passing through the valley of Baca maketh it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. So you're going through and you're digging and you're digging and you're digging, trying to find some life-giving water. As soon as you find the water, it starts to rain.
Yep. Yep.
Contrasts. If you're there in the valley of tears without digging, you will die in the valley of tears. But if in the valley of tears you dig, you for the life-giving water, the rivers of living water will be there, and as soon as your hands touch the living water, it'll rain revelation upon you. Why the fuck didn't it rain revelation when I needed it? It's like, if you wait on the Lord with the mind of a Gentile, you will die. If you wait on the Lord with the mind of the Lord, you'll renew your strength. You will mount up with wings as eagles. You will run and not be weary. You will walk and not faint. If you wait on the Lord with the mind of the Lord, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man that which he hath prepared for them that love him. But if you wait on the Lord in the valley of tears, you will die. Contrasts. The biggest contrast to me, the one I could not deal with for the 4 years, is how could I hate myself, and then how could that be transformed into love, my neighbor as myself? It only happened, and I remember the distinct, clear moment it happened. It only happened when I knew that I loathed myself, without any hope. Without any drugs, without any sex, without any escape mechanisms, without any talks, without any... And then a mystery transpired. The moment I saw that, then all of a sudden, I loved myself. You understand that you couldn't be here, we wouldn't exist. I mean, I don't mean to sound this from any kind of an ego standpoint, but you couldn't have existed unless I loved myself. The body wouldn't have happened. But woe, how long it took for me to love myself. All my little game playing had to go away.
You can't love yourself until you fully
loathe yourself. without lighting any sparks from your own, without kindling any sparks of your own. Can you hear that? Now, it's a whole lot easier to go through this while you're here. You don't have to go out and go... You don't have to do all the crap I had to do to find that out. Unless you really think you're neat. Unless you really think you're superior. Unless you desperately try to convince yourself you're superior.
What are you giggling?
How come everybody else understands? Does anybody not understand what I was doing?
I don't get in this reference.
Okay.
Yeah, I understand.
Harry constantly tries to convince himself he's superior. Go to Psalm 22. You know what? I remember there was twice. It was the first time I was alone when I knew it, and the second time was after I'd started teaching. And this is I can't even remember what happened, but I was so distraught and so upset that I literally left. And I put, this is the
Cougar story.
Cougar story. I put everything in the car.
Here we go.
Told everybody I was quitting. I didn't tell everybody like in a meeting, I just called a few people. And I started driving off, and I got on the other side of Fort Worth. And
Grand Theft Auto.
I did not own the car. So I had to come back with the tail between my legs. But it didn't end there. I mean, I was in misery. It's the only time I've ever underlined anything in my Bible. And instead of underlining all the good stuff, if you look in my Bible, under all of the Psalms, it's all of the bad stuff.
Oh, I just think that's not funny.
That's not funny.
It is.
It's not funny.
Everybody else underlines all the good stuff.
Anyway, Psalm 22. Why is Harry laughing? my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me, from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and I'm not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou did deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to my scorn, or laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, He trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. This is hard to understand, but this was, when I went through this was when I knew that the Psalms were written by the Spirit of Christ as the prayers of Christ as he walked the earth, for the prayers of Christ in you. And when I saw that I loathed myself, that I hated myself, that I saw myself after all the game playing and all the positive thinking and all of the that at the core, I loathe myself. The moment I saw that, I saw that he too had experienced that for me. He had played that game for me, if you will. So when I read this prayer and saw that this was his prayer while he was on the cross, then because of that, I saw that for me to continue to loathe myself or to hate myself made his sacrifice incomplete. Can you hear that? But thou art he, and it made so trivial anything that I would do to try to change myself or be different than I am. You know, okay, I'm not going to act like that anymore. Okay, I'm going to watch what I say from now on. Okay, I'm not going to cuss while I'm preaching ever again. Whatever it is, it when I saw that every time I tried to think about myself changing or being something, I trivialized the sacrifice. And that blew me away. Anyway. But thou art he that took me out of the womb, that it make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me, and strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round about. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me to the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me. You know what the word dogs are means?
Demons?
It's even worse. Male, homosexual, temple prostitutes. Dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet, and they count all my bones. They look and stare upon me, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Please hear this, and please understand that the hating of yourself has to happen. The loathing of yourself has to happen before you can love yourself. Don't take this lightly. Don't try to con it. Don't try to work things up. Don't try to make believe. Don't try to sell yourself. Let it go down to the depths of your being. Go to Isaiah 57. Verse 10. Everybody should remember this one. Thou art wearied in the greatness of your way, yet you sayest not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine own hand, and therefore thou wast not grieved. And before other places it says you can't repent because you've kindled your own fire. Where's that? Isaiah 50, starting in verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. But behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourself about with sparks, walk in the light of your own fire and in the sparks that you have kindled. And this shall you have of mine hand, that you shall lie down in sorrow. Think on these things. Contrasts.